You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The way of Jesus Christ is the way of a cross. That is His glory.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us faith to go with your Son and to grow in love toward one another. Help us through the ups and downs of life to take the low points with grace and the high points giving you the glory. As you gave your Son out of the goodness of your heart, O God, give us a good new year filled with your grace and your glory in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Him we pray. Amen. Christmas is past. Practically the whole world has celebrated, but the celebration is over. The colorful wrappings have been put away, and the gifts of Christmas have begun to look like the trappings of ordinary life. Where do we go from here? What do we do for an encore, the kind of piece musicians play after the concert is over? New Year's Eve hardly holds a candle to Christmas Eve, to silent night, holy night. Now what do we do if we want to keep the celebration going? The real story of Christmas tells us exactly how it works. Sometime after Christmas came wise men who worshipped the child with all kinds of gifts. They promised to return to King Herod and inform him of their findings, but they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They departed to their own country by another way. Those who worship Christ have to learn all the time how to go another way. Then we are told, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." This is just as much a part of the real Christmas as the baby in the manger, the angel swinging through the skies, the shepherds rising out of their fields to go and worship him, and the wise men coming to shower him with gifts. Now the glad songs all but cease. The bells have stopped ringing. Christmas trees are beginning to droop. January white sales have already begun. Soon the decorations will be tucked away. Now what do we do? What do we do for an encore? What we do is to meet the real world as the wise men did, going back to their country another way. What we do is what Mary and Joseph did. We face the facts of life with all the reality of the birth of this baby who was laid in the manger in that little town of Bethlehem at the far end of the Mediterranean. Mary and Joseph did not go back to their old ways, nor did they return to Nazareth from which they had come. They went, of all places, to Egypt, a foreign land, where they were complete strangers. They did it for the sake of the baby, the Son of God entrusted to them as guardians of the treasure of God. This was no ordinary baby. Not everybody knows exactly who he was, but everybody knows that he was no ordinary baby. Later on, one of Christ's men said about him, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." The real beginning was not gloriously dreamlike as we sometimes make it out to be. After all, it was in the stable of an inn that he was born, and in a manger that he was laid. You get a hint of the extraordinary character of his birth when those shepherds appear, and then later on the wise men. But the real crunch comes when Herod has his turn. Herod's turn came very early. It wasn't long before he was trying to eliminate what he regarded as a threat to his position. He was willing to go to such lengths as to kill all the male babies underneath 2 years of age, just to be sure of accomplishing his objective. The madness of the world comes face to face with the glory of God. And this is what happens. It is just as Jeremiah said, "Mourning is heard in the land of Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children because they are gone and will not return." Rachel's tomb is in the area of Bethlehem, and it is shown to tourists today who travel that way. Bethlehem weeps as mothers weep for her children. Real life is not so much from tragedy to triumph as it is from triumph to tragedy. Most of the news in the world today is bad. The world is not sliding uphill. It is plunging downhill. If this be pessimism, so be it. It is real. The Son of God entered that real world. As a citizen of the real world, he took up his journey. First of all, to Egypt, the most unlikely place at that time for the Son of God to go, a stranger in a strange land. Mary and Joseph must have tossed the question around in their minds in the days after the shepherds and the wise men came. "What do we do now?" The shepherds must have said to themselves, "Now, what do we do?" The wise men on their way home had the same haunting question to deal with. "Now, where do we go from here?" The angels knew what to do, deployed for the future by the great God who had sent them in the first place. First of all, let's take Joseph and Mary. Mary, his mother, and Joseph, her betrothed, who willingly accepted the role of a parent. Joseph, a real gem. He acted as a man might be expected to act when he heard of Mary's pregnancy. Then, believing the word of God that came to him, that the child that should be born would be the Son of God himself, Joseph reinforced his young betrothed during those difficult 9 months with his love, not judging and not condemning, taking part in the marriage and protecting her against the town gossips and the tongue waggers. Joseph is on the spot, and he is a brave man. No other child has been born like this one, just as promised. Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph and Mary enjoyed all the fuss when the baby was born. Visitors, flowers, gifts, and more. Much, much more. They did not have a doctor's appointment to meet in order to check up on the baby, but they had to take care of baby as babies have to be taken care of. It's the gospel that the Son of God became altogether human, just like us. It's a part of our history. He was a real baby. And he was a real man. Although he was altogether without sin, all innocent, he was all boy, all man, all human, and all God. What a treasure! What a trust! And what a responsibility, especially when real life makes its presence known and the news comes that Herod is looking for that child. While Mary was pondering these things in her heart, as she always did, and Joseph was wrestling with questions that had no answer, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." What did Mary and Joseph do for an encore after Christmas? Taking the child, they fled to Egypt. That does not sound like God's way of doing things, but that's the way he does them. It almost looks sometimes like triumph turning into tragedy. What did the wise men do for an encore? They had stopped to visit Herod en route to their destination at the star's direction. While they may not have known about Herod's terrible plot to to assassinate the object of their journey and their devotion. They had their own ideas about his real motives. After all, they were wise men. They departed to their own country by another way. Why did they not return to warn Mary and Joseph? Anyone who has watched thousands of dramas on television can tell you that without giving it a second thought. Immediately, they would have tipped off Herod and his agents to where the child was. The wise men had paid the child their personal respects and given him their worship. They laid before him their costly gifts, and the greatest gift of all, their own faith and love. Now the holiness of the visit was over, and they had to return to their distant homes. What now? What do we do for an encore of an experience like this? That's the last we hear of the wise men. We do not know even how many there were. The poets and the playwrights have said three, but they do not know any more about it than you do. These anonymous men, for we do not know their names, are a good sample of what happens after Christmas. They go their way, having experienced the grace of God, and having all kinds of questions about the future, like, where do we go from here? What do we do now? What do we do for an encore? I have no doubt about what the wise men did. They did exactly what the shepherds did. They began to tell everybody about what they had seen and heard, giving glory to God for his grace in sending such a gift into the world as his own son. That's what the shepherds did. They made known the saying that was told them concerning the child, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. After that, Mary and Joseph moved from the stable and its manger to a house where the wise men eventually found them. The location of that house, Herod did not know. We can all be glad that he did not find out. God would have protected his son in his own way. He actually did protect him in his own way. He sent the baby, together with Mary and Joseph, to Egypt, a faraway place, away from the scene of the action, what might have appeared to them at the time even as oblivion. But with God, there's never oblivion. Just as with God, nothing is impossible. What about the innkeeper? He never even noticed. He was probably the typical representative of the masses of humanity who go their way never noticing anything. For the innkeeper, it was back to routine after that unusual and even somewhat unpleasant occurrence that is celebrated today by millions of people on Christmas Eve. For these, life is all humdrum, filled with daily activities, generating boredom and anxiety, suspicion and self-pity, while everybody fights for his own existence with everybody else in a world that has seen all too many Herods and all too many innkeepers in its time. Just look for a moment at Herod, a little power-hungry ruler who died a terrible death, but only after presiding over the murder of those babies at Bethlehem. He murdered his wives and his own children, lest they threaten his position. That's not just a page out of the past. It happens all the time. It has happened in our time. It happened this year. Herod is the original Scrooge. He had no peace or joy in life because he saw everyone else as a threat, or simply as a thing. He depended entirely upon himself and his own ability to carve out a future and to hold on to a throne. Eventually, he was consumed by his own madness that had been growing upon him with every murder and every treachery. Now, what about us? What about you? Where do you go from here? What do you do now? If you're one of those who've celebrated Christmas, what do you do for an encore? The mystery of Christmas is dispelled, so to speak, in the glaring light of the real day. You can go the way of Herod if you want to, self-satisfied and self-destroying. You can go the way of the innkeeper, unhearing and unseeing. In each case, it will be the same dull life filled with personal pride, selfishness, indifference toward others, and apathy toward God. You can say that you believe in God, but he doesn't really mean anything to you. You can go the way so many people go, filling up life with your own waywardness and sometimes with your own malice. You can forget about God and live with the guilt that you cannot forget. You can wonder about life, what it means, and never find an answer. You can go that way if you want to. But there is another way. It is not all glory, as Mary and Joseph found out, and so did their son. It led him eventually to a cross. It was a bitter cross, with crucifixion at the hands of people he had come to save. The glory of God is in that event, which looks very much like a tragedy. It is real life, like the day Mary and Joseph took him to Egypt, to escape a little until God had prepared things for a better way. Jesus himself is that better way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The way of Jesus Christ is the way of a cross, and that is his glory. The way of Jesus Christ is truth, the truth of God. That is his glory. The way of Jesus Christ is life, life from God and life with God, life by the grace of God. That is the glory of Jesus Christ. It all comes to people like you and me through faith, which is God's gift. Believe in Jesus Christ, his people have always said. Accept the good news of Jesus Christ and receive him as the Savior of the world. That's exactly what he is. He died for you, and God raised him from the dead to live for you. He is the Son of God, and he is the Savior of the world. He is your Savior, as much as he is the Savior of anyone in this wide world of ours. Now, what do you do? Go with him and grow with him. Grow up to be his man or woman in this world, this very real world with its Herods and its innkeepers. Live by faith in him. That faith overcomes. Who is he that overcomes but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What do you do for an encore? Listen. Hear. Listen and hear, not only with your ears, but with your heart. It's just like putting yourself into the hands of God with faith in Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. Believe the good news that everything is forgiven because God is good. With faith in Jesus Christ, God gives real life, and God is good. With faith in Jesus Christ, God gives real love, and God is good. That's the way he loves, and that is his glory. We see all of that in the face of Jesus Christ, down to Egypt, up to Nazareth, down to Jerusalem, up on a cross, down into a grave, and up from the dead as the Son of God with power. What do you do for an encore? You go that way, the other way, his way. It's a wonderful way to enter the new year, a high, noble, and holy way, the way of Jesus Christ and of faith in Jesus Christ, the way to go. Amen.